الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى خصوصا على افضلهم وخاتم النبيين محمد الامين وعلى اله وصحبه اجمعين اما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى كما ورد في سورة بني اسرائيل اعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ولا تقربوا مال اليتيم الا بالتي هي احسن حتى يبلغ اشده وَأَوْفُوا بِالْعَهْدِ إِنَّ الْعَهْدَ كَانَ مَسْئُولًا وَأَوْفُوا الْكَيْلَ إِذَا كِلْتُمْ وَزِنُوا بِالْقِسْطَاسِ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ ذَلِكَ خَيْرٌ وَأَحْسَنُ تَأْوِيلًا وَلَا تَقْفُ مَا لَيْسَ لَكَ بِهِ عِلْمٌ إِنَّ السَّمْعَ وَالْبَصَرَ وَالْفُؤَادَ كُلُّ أُولَئِكَ كَانَ عَنْهُ مَسْئُولًا ولا تمش في الارض مرحا انك لن تخرق الارض ولن تبلغ الجبال طولا كل ذلك كان سيئه عند ربك مكروها ذلك مما اوحى اليك ربك من الحكمه ولا تجعل مع الله الها اخر فتلقى في جهنم ملوما مدحورا أفأصفاكم ربكم بالبنين واتخذ من الملائكة ناسا إنكم لتقولون قولا عظيما صدق الله العظيم رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي اللهم ربنا ألهمنا رشدنا وأعذنا من شرور أنفسنا اللهم أرنا الحق حقا وارزقنا اتباعه وعلنا الباطل باطلا وارزقنا اجتنابه اللهم وفقنا لما تحب وترضى آمين يا رب العالمين This is as you know the last part of lesson number 4 of the third part of our selected course of study of the Quran As I told you in the beginning these 18 ayat which comprise this Lesson number 4. They contain some do's and some don'ts. Some awamir, some nawahi. Some commands and some forbiddings. And Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhuma says that this is actually the Quranic version of the 10 commandments of Torah. First of all, we had the commandment, وَقَضَى رَبُّكَ أَلَّا تَعْبُدُوا إِلَّا إِيَّاهُ Number 2, وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا Number 3, وَآتِ ذَا الْقُرْبَى حَقَّهُ وَالْمِسْكِينَ وَابْنَ السَّبِيلِ وَلَا تُبَذِّرْ تَبْذِيرًا Number 4, وَإِمَّا تُعْرِضَنَّ عَنْهُمْ ابْتِغَاءَ رَحْمَةٍ مِّن رَّبِّكَ تَرْجُوهَا فَقُل لَّهُمْ قَوْلًا مَّيْسُورًا Number 5, وَلَا تَجْعَلْ يَدَكَ مَغْلُولَةً إِلَى عُنُقِكَ وَلَا تَبْسُطْهَا كُلَّ الْبَسْطِ فَتَقْعُدَ مَلُومًا مَّحْسُورًا Number 6 وَلَا تَقْتُلُوا أَوْلَادَكُمْ خَشْيَةَ إِمْلَاقٍ نَحْنُ نَرْزُقُهُمْ وَإِيَّاكُمْ إِنَّ قَتْلَهُمْ كَانَ خِطْئًا كَبِيرًا I am living in between the ayat which give us the basic wisdom of these commandments. I am now listing the commandments only. Number 7 وَلَا تَقْرَبُوا الزِّنَا إِنَّهُ كَانَ فَاحِشَةً وَسَاءَ سَبِيلًا Number 8 وَلَا تَقْتُلُوا النَّفْسَ الَّتِي حَرَّمَ اللَّهُ إِلَّا بِالْحَقِّ وَمَنْ قُتِلَ مَظْلُومًا فَقَدْ جَعَلْنَا لِوَلِيِّهِ سُلْطَانًا فَلَا يُسْرِفْ فِي الْقَتْلِ إِنَّهُ كَانَ مَنْصُورًا Number 9 وَلَا تَقْرَبُوا مَالَ الْيَتِيمِ إِلَّا بِالَّتِي هِيَ أَحْسَنُ حَتَّى يَبْلُغَ أَشُدَّهُ Now the 10th commandment is وَأَوْفُوا بِالْعَهْدِ إِنَّ الْعَهْدَ كَانَ مَسْئُولًا Fulfill your promise or covenant or agreement that you have made. Because the agreement or the promise will be held responsible. This is the literal translation that I have given you. What does it mean? The promise is not going to be held responsible. You are going to be held responsible for the promise that you made. It's only a style of presentation. إِنَّ الْعَهْدَ كَانَ مَسْئُولًا All the promises will have to be accounted for. And we are seeing this related course of study the importance of these agreements, fulfilling the promises and covenants, it is coming repeatedly. In the second lesson we had, بَلْ بُوْفُونَ بِأَحْدِهِمْ إِذَا عَاهَدُوا. Then I told you that the central ayah of Surah Al-Fatiha also has a covenant. إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ. A covenant, a misaq, an ahd. So it has been repeatedly mentioned. Now we find here again, وَأَوْفُوا بِالْعَهْدِ. Fulfill it. You have to fulfill the commitment that you have made, the promise that you have made, the agreement you have concluded, abide by it. And you will be held responsible for all the promises. I quoted to you the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam from Anas ibn Malik radiyallahu ta'ala an, قَالَ قَلَّمَا خَتَبَنَا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمِ إِلَّا قَالْ لَا إِمَانَ لِمَنْ لَا أَمَانَةَ لَهُ وَلَا دِينَ لِمَنْ لَا أَحْدَ لَهُ. It was only seldom that the Prophet delivered some sermon to us, and he didn't include these words in that sermon. There is no faith of a person who betrays his trust, and there is no deen of a person who doesn't fulfill his ahd. Although the statement seems to be very categorical, but it's the statement of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. وَأَوْفُ الْكَيْلَ إِذَا كِلْتُمْ. The next commandment. Fill the measure to its full when you are measuring for others. We find in another surah, in the very early surahs, Surah Al-Mutaffifin. وَيْلٌ لِلْمُطَفِّفِينَ الَّذِينَ إِذَا اكْتَالُوا عَلَى النَّاسِ يَسْتَغْفُونَ وَإِذَا كَالُوهُمْ أَوْ وَزَنُوهُمْ يُخْسِرُونَ. Woe and doom for those people that when they measure for others, they decrease, diminish it. And then we are taking something by measurement, they take the full measure. They have double standards. For themselves, they want the full measure. And when they are giving to others, they diminish the quantity and they don't fill the measure to its maximum. وَأَوْفُ الْكَيْلَ إِذَا كِلْتُمْ. Must fill the measure when you are measuring for others. وَزِنُوا and weigh. وَزِنُوا بِالْقِسْطَاسِ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ. When you are weighing something, these are the two modes. Because something is given by measurements. And there are some articles which are purchased or sold by weighing. So when you are measuring, fill the measure. And when you are weighing, weigh with the even scale. The arm of the balance should be straight. وَزِنُوا بِالْقِسْطَاسِ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ. ذَلِكَ خَيْرٌ وَأَحْسَنُ تَعْدِيلًا. A very beautiful verse. Two aspects. ذَلِكَ خَيْرٌ. It is good not only in itself, but also it's the most advantageous in the end. It seems when you have given something less to anybody, it appears to you have gained something. No, no. It's no gain whatsoever. Maybe temporarily, for the time being, you may feel you have gained something. But actually it's not going to be a gain in the long run. ذَلِكَ خَيْرٌ وَأَحْسَنُ تَعْوِيلًا. Actually, the results, the final results are that the best advantages, best in itself, and the most advantageous in the long run is to fill the measure fully when measuring for others and weighing with the even scale when you are giving something by weighing it. وَلَا تَقْفُ مَا لَيْسَ لَكَ بِهِ عِلْمٌ. And don't pursue or follow anything about which you have no knowledge. إِنَّ السَّمْعَ وَالْبَصَرَ وَالْفُعَادَ كُلَّ أُولَٰئِكَ كَانَ عَنْهُ مَسْئُولًا. Verily, your hearing, your sight, and your thinking, all of these faculties are to be accounted for. You will be held responsible whether you use these faculties or not. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed you with these faculties, bestowed on you these faculties. You can see, you can hear, and then you can think, and whatsoever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you, you will be held accountable for both. Now what's the essence of this ayah? Actually, what is meant here is, don't go after superstitions and what you call the occult sciences. Islamic culture discourages these things. These things, astrology, you are studying the hand, making prophecies, all these things, which are not sciences. You yourself call them occult sciences. But some people have the superstition and they go after them, they indulge in them. Quran wants to inculcate a habit of following only the knowledge, the true knowledge, the solid knowledge, not superstitions. This is the essence of this ayah. وَلَا تَخْمَا لَيْسَ لَكَ بِهِ عِلْمٍ. Don't follow, don't pursue. The Prophet ﷺ has been reported to have said, whosoever thinks that the astrologer, whatever he is telling is true, then he is denying what I have brought with me. These two things can't go together. Either believe in me or believe in the astrologer. So much discouraged. Never have this feeling. You must have a very positive attitude. Follow and pursue only knowledge. But the second part of this ayah is very profound. What is knowledge? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you the faculties with which you gain knowledge. And these faculties, because He has bestowed them upon you, so He will take the account. You will be held accountable whether you use them or not. Now I want to tell you something about what is knowledge, because it is one of the very important discussions of our time. And we must have a very clear idea of what is knowledge according to the Quran. Here is a chart that I have prepared for you. It will give you my understanding of this issue. There is a saying, they say that is the saying of Allama Ibn Khaldun, rahimahullah. I'm not sure, but it's like an axiom. Al-ilmu ilman. Because there arises a question in our mind. How do we know Quran? We don't know Quran by our sama or our basar. But this is the knowledge, this is the true knowledge. So, we must understand there are two types of knowledge. Al-ilmu al-man, ilmul abdan wa ilmul adiyan. Abdan, badan, physical body. The knowledge of the physical world, physical sciences, physical bodies, and the knowledge of the deen, the revealed knowledge. So there are two types of knowledge, the acquired knowledge and the revealed knowledge. Here actually the acquired knowledge has been discussed. You see, you hear, the sense data is fed in the computer of your brain, then this brain processes that data and then infers. There is some result taken out of the data which has been fed. This is how this acquired knowledge has been proceeding, step by step, step by step, step by step. Newton saw that this apple is going down, it's not going up. Why? There seems to be some physical law. Anything which falls from above comes to the ground. Means this ground, this earth is attracting things. He discovered the force of gravity. Somebody saw there was something was being cooked on some hearth. The lid over that utensil was moving. What is moving it? While the rule is everything continues in state of rest or of uniform motion along a straight line unless acted upon by an external force. So what's the external force? What is moving this lid? And he discovered steam and the power, potential that it has. And that led to the invention of steam engines. And so on, so on. All this acquired knowledge is coming to us in the Samah wal Basara wal Fuad. Fuad actually, mostly it has been translated by heart. I differ with it. Because actually this, the root has no connection with heart whatsoever. Faida, Mufid, and the Arabs call, you know, roasted meat. Faid, lahmul faid. When you have roasted the meat over fire, Water has gone, now it is roasted, and it becomes less in volume. So actually when you are processing the data is quite large. But when you process it, it boils down to something small in volume. This is actually fuad. The fuad is the thinking process that we have in our brain. The working of this computer, the supercomputer that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has bestowed upon us, is the most supreme computer that Allah has produced. What to speak of a supercomputer? And here continuously, data is being fed and it is working. And every day some scientist knows something new. Something new comes to his mind. And it is coming through observation. Observation. The senses working. The data fed to the computer of brain and some results, and it adds. Humanity as it has taken another step towards knowledge. This is one form of knowledge. And this has been discussed in the Quran. Actually here I have used the words ilm bil hawas plus ilm bil aql. These two things go together. Because Quran says that heart also thinks. لَهُمْ قُلُوبٌ لَا يَعْقِلُونَ بِهَا لَا يَفْقَهُونَ بِهَا. So actually aql, thinking, Quran attributes it to the heart also. So actually if you translate fuad with heart, the result is the same. But I don't see any basis of translating fuad by heart. Qalb is qalb, you know. There's no connection in the roots of these two words. Fuad, faida, mufid, ifada, what you get out of something, the benefit that you are taking, the summary of a thing, the essence of a thing. You must have read in the old religious books, there is some discussion and then fe, faida. What do we take out of this? What's the inference that we take out from this? That is called faida. So actually fuad is the inference that you draw from the sense data that you have through your senses. This is ilm bil hawas and ilm bil aql. Hawas, your sense organs, they give you the sense data. And then your aql, your computer, brain computer, processes it. And this ilm actually is more important. Because this faculty was given to Adam alayhi salatu wasalam in the very beginning. So Allah says, عَلَّمَ آدَمَ الْأَسْمَاءَ كُلَّهَا. This is the ilm al-asma. Naming things, defining them with some terms, defining the terms. This is actually how this acquired knowledge has been proceeding step by step. عَلَّمَ آدَمَ الْأَسْمَاءَ كُلَّهَا إِنَّ السَّمْعَ وَالْبَصَرَ وَالْفُعَادَ كُلُّهُ لَا يَتَكَانَ عَنْهُ مَسْهُولًا. This ayah is applicable to this type of knowledge that we get through our sense organs and through the process of inferring by our brain the computer that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us. And actually it is the exfoliation of this knowledge. Just as I told you, you have a nut of the tree of mango. You sow in the ground, in the soil. After some days, it splits open. Then two leaves come out of it. In course of time, it becomes the whole tree. The whole tree was there in the nut. Or take the example of any other seed. You sow it in the soil. The soil is healthy. Then actually what happens? Out of that seed has come out a plant. Where from has it come? The plant was there in the seed. Potentially it was present. The whole tree or the whole plant was there in the seed. It has only exfoliated. So actually all our scientific knowledge is the exfoliation of the ilm al-asma that was given to Adam alayhi salatu wasalam in the very beginning. And about this Allama Iqbal has said, عروجِ آدمِ خاکی سے انجم سہ میں جاتے ہیں کہ یہ ٹوٹا ہوا تارہ مہِ کامل نہ بن جائے. The level of this knowledge, which limits, it has touched. Up till there it has gone. And we don't know. It is just going. It's still expanding. It's still exfoliating. But this is actually the knowledge of the ilm al-asma that was given to Adam in the very beginning. Now this knowledge can be divided into two parts.
acquired knowledge. Basically, this acquired knowledge deals with the physical sciences. Physics, chemistry, astronomy, and so on, biology, anatomy, physiology, botany, zoology, and so on. And the technology is based on this type of knowledge. But then, you know, the man wants to have a total knowledge also. What is this universe? What's the beginning? What's the end? Although these are metaphysical questions. They are not the physical questions. Metaphysical. Beyond the reach of these physical sciences. But there is an urge in the human mind to know these things. So, human mind has been grappling with these questions, and that we call falsafa, philosophy. Through their intellect. Using their logic, power of inference. So philosophy, and philosophy has many branches. Ma'abadu tabiyat, the metaphysics, then the ethics, then all the social sciences are branches of philosophy. Political science, economics, sociology, all these are actually branches of philosophy. So this is the acquired knowledge based on ilmul haras and ilmul aql. And this is actually inna sam'a wal basara wal fuada kullu ulaika kana anhu mas'ula. But this is only one aspect. The other knowledge is the revealed knowledge. It's not acquired. It's revealed. And the recipient receives it passively, not actively. This is revealed. And we find in the fourth section of Surah Al-Baqarah, both these types of knowledge have been discussed. It's very important to note. In the beginning, وَعَلَّمَ آدَمَ الْأَسْمَاءَ كُلَّهَا ثُمَّ عَرَضَهُمْ عَلَى الْمَلَائِكَةِ فَقَالَ أَنْبِئُونِي بِأَسْمَاءِ هَٰؤُلَاءِ إِن كُنْتُمْ صَادِقِينَ. And that is why I have written here, this knowledge is the basis of caliphate. Allah gives the rule of this world to a nation who excels in this knowledge. Because it is based on ilmul asma'. وَاسْقُلْنَا لِلْمَلَائِكَةِ اسْجُدُوا لِآدَمَ فَسَجُدُوا إِلَّا إِبْلِيسَ وَاسْقَالَ رَبُّكَ لِلْمَلَائِكَةِ إِنِّي جَاعِلٌ فِي الْأَرْضِ خَلِيفَةً. When he was to be given that khilafa, he was given ilmul asma. And that ilmul asma is exfoliating. If you know this universe, if you know the forces governing this universe, if you are experts, the physical and chemical laws governing this universe, if you can exploit those physical and chemical laws, if you can use them, if you can base your technology on it, well, you will be supreme on this earth. That is why the West is ruling. Because they excel in it. There was a time when we were excelling. The Muslims, they were the scientists, they were the philosophers. For several hundred years, the Muslim got wisdom and sciences, mathematics, medicine, astronomy, everything from East as well as West. From India and China as well as the Greek people. They developed them. But then they transferred that knowledge through the universities of Spain, of Granada and Cordova, to the people of France and Germany and Italy. And then went to sleep. Luxuries and nothing else. And then these nations developed these sciences, this knowledge, and they got the leadership of the world. But this is one aspect. It's not the whole truth. It's the part of the truth. The other part is, this is the ilmul wahi, the revealed knowledge. And in the same section, number 4 of Surah Al-Baqarah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, when he said, finally, he gave the final commandment to Adam. Go and take the charge of the earth. Then the final charter was, فَإِمَّا يَاتِيَنَّكُم مِّنِّي هُدًى فَمَنْ تَبِعَ هُدَايَ فَلَا خَوْفٌ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا هُمْ يَحْزَنُونَ. Whenever some guidance will be coming to you from me, whosoever will follow that guidance, he will have nothing to fear, nothing to be sorrowful and grievous about. وَالَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا وَكَذَّبُوا بِآيَاتِنَا أُولَٰئِكَ أَصْحَابُ النَّارِ هُمْ فِيهَا خَالِدُونَ. And whosoever will deny our science, will refuse to accept our guidance, they will be the people of fire, and they will remain in it forever. Now that was the charter. This is actually this huda, guidance. What to do, what not to do. Do's and don'ts. This path is wrong. Don't go this way. And when we were discussing Suratul Fatiha, I told you, this is what we asked for. اِهْدِنَا الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ صِرَاطَ الَّذِينَ أَنْعَمْتَ عَلَيْهِمْ غَيْرِ الْمَغْضُوبِ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا الضَّالِّينَ. Now this knowledge, which is the recipient, which organ receives this knowledge? Did wahi came to Muhammad through his eyes? No. Did he hear the wahi through his ears? No. There's not time to give you the forms of different forms of wahi. Sometimes it comes in the form of an inspiration. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put something in my heart, that's all. Sometimes the Prophet says, I hear a voice as if some bell is ringing, in a very low voice. No other voice. No message coming through this ears. And then the whole thing becomes clear to my heart. نَزَلَ بِهِ الرُّوحُ الْأَمِينَ عَلَىٰ قَلْبِكَ. The recipient of wahi is not these eyes or the ears or this brain, this computer. Nothing to do with this wahi. This wahi comes to the heart directly. And in that heart dwells the ruh. This ruh of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam got the wahi from the ar-ruhul ameen, ar-ruhul quds. نَزَلَ بِهِ الرُّوحُ الْأَمِينَ عَلَىٰ قَلْبِكَ لِتَكُونَ مِنَ الْمُنْزِلِينَ. And there's a very beautiful couplet from Jigar Muradabadi. Nagma wohi hai nagma ke jisko ruh sune aur ruh sunaye. Ar-ruhul ameen, Jibreel. He conveyed to the ruh of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This nagma of wahi. Nagma wohi hai nagma ke jisko ruh sune aur ruh sunaye. Now this wahi reveal knowledge through heart. It has also two branches. The protected form, the verbal revelation which is protected. There can be nothing wrong in it. No shaitan, no jinns can interfere it, can add or subtract something from it. It is the wahi for the anbiya, the prophetic revelation. Sure and protected. But there is another wahi, which comes to other people also. Unprotected. There's no guarantee. Shaitan can add something to it. That comes to the general people. We say, it's something. I find it in my heart. I feel intuitively. I can't say why. But I feel so. Sometimes you have seen a dream. And whatever you saw in the dream came out to be true. The same incident happens a few days later. This is what we call a ruya sadiqa. The true dreams. Actually, these are what? This is also revealed. But this revelation is not protected. The revelation to the prophets comes and it is protected. I have given there the ayah wa imma yatiyannakum minni hudan. So there are two knowledges. Number one, inna sam'a wal basara wal fu'ada kullu ulaika kana anhu masula. The sense data and the processing of the brain. This is one side of the knowledge. This is the acquired knowledge which man is gathering and gathering and gathering, and it is going on increasing and increasing and increasing, and only God knows up till what level it will go. On the other hand, this is the revealed knowledge. Vaimma yati annakum minni hudan. This revealed knowledge continued for as far as I can guess about 8,000 years from Adam to Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This protected wahi. And the hudan was changed into al-huda, the guidance, the final guidance, the total guidance, the eternal guidance. This is al-huda, the Quran. هو الذي أرسل رسوله بالهدى ودين الحق ليظهره على الدين كله. It is the guidance. نو انسان را پیام آخری حامل او رحمت للعالمين. Now because I have divided it again two parts. محفوظ غير محفوظ. Protected and the unprotected. The Mahfuz is the wahi of the Anbiya. The revelation which had been coming to the prophets. This has come to an end finally in the person of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The window has been closed forever. The guidance through this protected wahi reached its zenith, its climax, its completion in Al-Quran. الْيَوْمَ أَكْمَلْتُ لَكُمْ دِينَكُمْ وَأَتْمَمْتُ عَلَيْكُمْ نِعْمَتِي وَرَضِيتُ لَكُمُ الْإِسْلَامَ دِينًا. And then the window was closed. But the unprotected wahi is continuing. God can speak to you only if you have purified hearts. Allah will speak to you. There is the word muhaddath. The Prophet said, in the ummah of every messenger of Allah, there were muhaddathin. Muhaddis, not muhaddis, muhaddath. Muhaddis is a term. A person who is knowledgeable about the ahadith of the Prophet. Muhaddis, Imam Bukhari, Imam Muslim, they are all muhaddisin. Muhaddas is a person to whom Allah speaks. And the Messenger of Allah said, Umar is the muhaddas of my ummah. Allah speaks to him. But this is not the wahi of Nabuwa. There can be people. If you have purified your heart, you have purified your soul, then Allah will speak to you. You can get inspiration from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You can see the dreams which are from Allah. The Prophet has said, لَمْ يَبْقَى مِنَ النُّبُوَّةِ إِلَّا الْمُبَشَّرَاتِ. Out of prophethood nothing remains now except the true dreams that one sees. And there is another hadith. كَيْفَ كَانَ بَدَوْ الْوَحِيَ عَلَى النَّبِيَ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمِ. It is from Hazrat Aisha Siddiqa رضي الله تعالى عنها. Included by Imam Bukhari. Accepted by him as authentic hadith. Then the first wahi that started coming to him was in the form of true dreams. كَانَ لَا يُرَى فِي الْمَنَامِ إِلَّا زَهَرَ كَفَلَقِ الصُّبْحِ. It began happening that whatever he used to see in his dreams happened after some days. The same incident which he saw happened after some days. Just as if dawn, the morning is dawning in the same way the events were coming. And that was the beginning of wahi of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But not of revelation of Quran. That began later on. So here now you note, wahi nabuwa, this can also be divided into two parts. Wahi khafi, wahi jali. Wahi-e-jali is Qur'an. Wahi-e-khafi, I told you, the inspiration that Muhammad got sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The inspiration for Muhammad, for the prophets, was also protected. That is why Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wa sallam took such a big decision of sacrificing his son, the only son, Ismail, on the basis of the dream. Ya bunayya inni ara fil manami anni asbahuka fanzur madha tara. Qala ya abati fal ma tumar. Satajiduni insha'Allah min as-sabirin. Oh my little dear son, I have been seeing in my dream that I am killing you, sacrificing you. And the answer was from Ismail, oh father, go ahead. With whatever has been commanded to you, matumar. The commandment never came in the form of words. It was in the form of dreams. For the prophets, for the messengers of Allah, even this wahi-e-khafi was protected. No shaitan, no jinn could intervene in it, could make any change in it. But for us, for other people who are not prophets, this wahi-e-khafi, this inspiration, this ghair-mahfuz, it is going on, but there can be some involvement of the shayateen. So we cannot have any law of the sharia based on the dream or based on the inspiration or based on the wahi-e-khafi of any person who is not nabi. Deen has been completed. But there can be, don't deny. There are people who see very, very, you know, true dreams. Whatever they see, come before them. So now these are two branches of knowledge, and there is correlation also. Philosophy, when it is grappling with metaphysics, and Quran, when it is giving us iman, they are of one, the subject is one. Subject of iman and subject of philosophy is the same. Then sociology, from the acquired side of knowledge,
and all the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala regarding the political structure, the economic structure, this is haram, this is permissible, this is not permissible, all these things, you know, they are correlated to each other. So in this way, we can have a true picture of what is knowledge. Here in this ayah, in the sam'a wal basara wal fu'ada kullu ulaika kana lahu masula, only that knowledge is discussed. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you the sense organs, the sight, the hearing, and so on. Only two are mentioned in the Quran repeatedly, but there is the sense of touch, there is the sense of smelling, there is the sense of taste. But then with this, you have to infer with your brain. You have to follow whatever you have through the knowledge of these things. And then secondly, the other side of the knowledge is the knowledge of wahi. Imma yatiyannakum minni hudan faman tabi'a hudaya fala khawfun alayhim wa lahum yahzanun. It will be mentioned shortly inshallah in this passage also. فَلَا تَقْفُ مَا لَيْسَ لَكَ بِهِ عِلْمٌ إِنَّ السَّمْعَ وَالْبَصَرَ وَالْفُؤَادَ كُلُّ لَا تَكَانُ عَنْهُ مَسْئُولًا وَلَا تَمْشِ فِي الْأَرْضِ مَرَحًا. These words occurred in the second section of Surah Al-Luqman also. Don't walk on earth with haughty self-deceit, haughtily, very proud, and in self-deceit. Even the gait tells, you know, the way you walk, as you say, the face is the index of mind. In the same way, the gait with which you are walking, it is telling what you think of yourself, what the condition of your mind, the way you are walking. Don't walk on earth with haughty self-deceit. Surely, innaka lan takhriqa al-ard. Very beautiful verse. You might be walking very haughtily, but you can't tear our earth. You can't rend it asunder. Walan tablugha al-jibala tula. You might have straightened your neck, but you can't reach the height of the mountains. We have created very big things. You are very small. Don't think you are very big. Actually, if you walk haughtily, you can't tear our earth. And if you are straightening your neck to look taller and taller, you can't reach the height of the mountains. كُلُّ ذَلِكَ كَانَ سَيِّئُهُ عِنْدَ رَبِّكَ مَكْرُوهًا. Of all these things, the evil side of it is very much hated by your Lord. Because there are do's also, don'ts also. The don'ts actually, they discuss those things which are hated by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَلَا تَقْرَبُ الزِّنَا وَلَا تَقْفُ مَا لَيْسَ لَكَ بِهِ عِلْمٌ وَلَا تَمْشِ فِي الْأَرْضِ مَرَحًا. What is it? It's the don'ts. لَا تَعْبُدُ إِلَّا إِيَّاهُ. It's a don't. وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا. It's a do. Do it. Something to be done. وَآتِ ذَا الْقُرْبَى حَقَّهُ. It's an order. Come on. Do it. So there are do's also. And don'ts also, awamir and nawahi. Kullu zalika kana sayyehu. The don'ts, they are discussing something which is very much unliked, hated by your Lord. So keep away from these things. Kullu zalika kana sayyehu inda rabbika makruha. Now here comes the second type of the knowledge. Zalika mimma awha ilayka rabbuka min al-hikmah. This is the concluding ayah of this passage. This is from among the treasure of the wisdom that Allah, your Rabb, has revealed unto you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now this is wahi. That was the acquired knowledge. Inna sam'a wal basara wal fu'ada kullu ulaika kana anhu mas'ula. And this is the wahi. Salika bimma awha ilayka rabbuka. This is, these things, these teachings, these do's and don'ts, these commandments, they are from the treasure of hikmah, wisdom, that your Lord, that your Rabb has revealed unto you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is very important, because some people think, and a very big person also, Imam Shafi, rahimahullah, has the opinion that by hikmah is meant the sunnah and hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. At four places we have in the Quran What was the process, basic process of change that adopted, that was adopted by Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? يَتْلُوْ عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتِهِمْ وَيُزَكِّيهِمْ وَيُعَلِّمُهُمُ الْكِتَابَ وَالْحِكْمَةِ. He reads unto the people the ayat of their Rabb. He purifies their souls and he teaches them the book and the hikmah. Now the book, if it is Quran, what is hikmah? Imam Shafi thinks that by hikmah is meant the hadith, the sunnah, the practice of the Prophet. I disagree. And there are others also who disagree. I agree with those who think that hikmah is also part of the Quran. And by book, by the kitab, Quran means the sharia. Kutiba alaykum al-siyam, kutiba alaykum al-qisas, inna salata kanat ala al-mu'minina kitabam mawquta. Kutiba actually is always used when something is being imperative, is being made imperative. Kutiba alaykum. إِذَا حَذَرَ أَحَدَكُمُ الْمَوْتِ إِنْ تَرَكَ خَيْرًا الْوَصِيَّةُ لِلْوَالِدَيْنِ وَالْأَقْرَبِينَ كُتِبَ عَلَيْكُمُ الْقِتَالُ. Now war has been made imperative for you. So actually by kitab, they are the commandments. And by hikmah, the wisdom underlying those commandments. Here Quran says clearly, ذَلِكَ مِمَّا أَوْحَى إِلَيْكَ رَبُّكَ مِنَ الْحِكْمَةِ. Quran contains hikmah. And this hikmah is such a precious thing. That in Surah Al-Baqarah, we find the words, وَمَنْ يُوتَ الْحِكْمَةَ فَقَدْ أُوتِيَ خَيْرًا كَثِيرًا. Whosoever has been endowed with and bestowed with this hikmah, this wisdom, he has been given a very big khair. خَيْرًا كَثِيرًا. So actually this wisdom is a very precious thing. ذَلِكَ مِمَّا أَوْحَى إِلَيْكَ رَبُّكَ مِنَ الْحِكْمَةِ. O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, these are the things, these are the teachings, these are the do's and don'ts that your Lord, your Rabb has revealed unto you from among the treasure of His wisdom. وَلَا تَجْعَلْ مَعَ اللَّهِ إِلَٰهًا آخَرٌ. Now to end here, again, stick to Tawheed, refrain from shirk. Just as we found, you know, in lesson number one of this part of our selected course of study, Suratul Muminun, Suratul Ma'arij. The foundations of character building according to the Quran begin with salah, end with salah. قَدْ أَفْلَحَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ الَّذِينَ هُمْ فِي صَلَاتِهِمْ خَاشِعُونَ. And all those qualities, those necessary things, they now end وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ عَلَى صَلَوَاتِهِمْ يُحَافِظُونَ. In the same way, in Surah Al-Ma'arij we found إِلَّا الْمُسَلِّينَ الَّذِينَ هُمْ عَلَى صَلَاتِهِمْ دَائِمُونَ. And in the end again, وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ عَلَىٰ صَلَاتِهِمْ يُحَافِظُونَ. Beginning with the mentioning of prayers and ending with the mentioning of the prayers. Here the hikmah to begin with was, وَقَضَىٰ رَبُّكَ أَلَّا تَعْبُدُوا إِلَّا إِيَّاهُ. Your Lord has decreed and joined upon you, has given you the final order. You will not worship and you will not accept bondmanship to anybody except Allah. And now here again, it is ending with the same. وَلَا تَجْعَلْ مَعَ اللَّهِ إِلَٰهًا آخَرٌ. Don't propose, don't invent, don't believe in any imaginary God, along with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. لَا إِلَٰهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. لَا تَجْعَلْ مَعَ اللَّهِ إِلَٰهًا آخَرٌ. Have firm faith. Believe from the depth of your heart. There's no God except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَلَا تَجْعَلْ مَعَ اللَّهِ إِلَٰهًا آخَرٌ. If you do so, supposingly, God forbid, if you do that, فَتُلْقَى فِي جَهَنَّمَ مَلُومًا مَدْحُورًا. You will be thrown and cast into the hell, denounced and rejected. Maloom, who has been denounced, blamed, and madhura, rejected. فَتُلْقَى فِي جَهَنَّمَ مَلُومًا مَدْحُورًا. If you do so, if you accept any imaginary God along with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then the punishment would be, you will be cast into the hell, you will be thrown into the fire of the hell, rejected and denounced. أَفَأَصْفَاكُمْ رَبُّكُمْ بِالْبَنِينَ. This special type of shirk
that the people of Arabia, people of Arab, they were committing. They thought that the angels are the daughters of Allah. That is why you find all their gods were feminine in their names. Lat. Lat is the feminine of Allah, Ilah. Uzza. Uzza is Al-Aziz. Al-Aziz is masculine. Uzza. This is the feminine. Akbar, Kubra. Azam, Uzma. Ahsan, Husna. The same way Aziz, Uzza. Manat. All these were feminine goddesses that they believed in. And they thought, this was their belief, that they are actually the daughters of Allah. They believed in Allah, I told you. And they also accepted that nobody is partner of Allah in creation. He created everything. وَلَئِنْ سَأَلْتَهُمْ مَنْ خَلَقَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ لَيَقُولُنَّ اللَّهِ. If you ask them, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who created all the heavens and the earth, they will surely say Allah. فَأَنَّا تُوْفَقُونَ. Then where do you go? Then why do you believe in other gods? So actually here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is mentioning their special type of shirk. But in a very light vein. أَفَأَصْفَاكُمْ رَبُّكُمْ بِالْبَنِينَ. It's very strange. You like sons and hate daughters. They used to kill their daughters. To bury them alive. Out of shame. That a daughter has been born to me. You don't like daughters for yourself. You like sons. أَفَأَصْفَاكُمْ رَبُّكُمْ بِالْبَنِينَ. Has your Lord favored you with sons? وَاتَّخَذَ مِنَ الْمَلَائِكَةِ إِنَاثًا. And he has himself adopted daughters from among the angels, in the form of angels. So this is a very bad division that you have made. You have allotted daughters to Allah. And you like yourself sons. أَفَأَصْفَاكُمْ رَبُّكُمْ بِالْبَنِينَ وَاتَّخَذَ مِنَ الْمَلَائِكَةِ إِنَاثًا. إِنَّكُمْ لَتَقُولُونَ قَوْلًا عَظِيمًا. Surely, verily, indeed, you are uttering a very big insult, insulting words for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's beyond all this. قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدْ اللَّهُ الصَّمَدْ لَمْ يَلِدْ وَلَمْ يُولَدْ وَلَمْ يَكُنْ لَهُ كُفُوًا أَحَدْ قُلِ الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ الَّذِي لَمْ يَتَّخِذْ وَلَدًا وَلَمْ يَكُنْ لَهُ شَرِيكٌ فِي الْمُلْكِ وَلَمْ يَكُنْ لَهُ وَلِيٌّ مِنَ الذُّلِّ وَكَبِّرْهُ تَكْبِيرًا. Allah is very high, very exalted. He is free from these needs of sons and daughters. He is himself to live ever. Actually, sons and daughters are your need. Because you know you will die. So you long for some children so that at least your name will continue. A man sees the continuation of his own personality in his offspring, as if I will be continuing. And that is why you need and you love. You want to have your sons and daughters. Allah is to live forever. He doesn't need any son. He doesn't need any daughter. He is above and beyond. Wara'ul wara', summa wara'ul wara'. With this lesson comes to an end. Now I want to take advantage of the few minutes that we have in the introduction to the next lesson. The next lesson of ours, and this is the final fifth lesson of the third part of the selected course of study of the Quran that we are discussing in this session. The Surah Al-Hujurat, it deals with the highest level of human society. Human society, when it is organized, it becomes a state. Concept of state is not very old, not more than 200-300 years old. People knew governments, not state. And now we know these two things are absolutely different. Government is only one arm of the state, one pillar of the state. Actually, the citizens are faithful to the state, not to the government. They have the right to change the government. This is the concept of today. But a few hundred years before, man didn't have the idea of what a state is. They knew only the governments, the kings, kingdoms. But state is a hypothetical concept. Government is only an executive side of that state, managing side of the state. The other two pillars are the judiciary and the legislature. So actually these questions which are discussed in the constitution, in this surah, Surah Al-Hujurat, which is the last lesson of this third part, which is dealing with the details of Al-Amalu Salih. We studied this Al-Amalu Salih at individual level. How individual character building can be done according to the Quran. And what is a fully reformed Muslim and Mu'min individual, what he looks like. That was lesson number two. Then lesson number three, what type of a family life, Islam or Quran and messages. Then lesson number four, what are the social values according to the Quran, which must be promoted. And what are the social evils according to the Quran, which must be eradicated. Now we are going to the final stage. That is, what is state? We shall be discussing it tomorrow, but I want to give you a glimpse of the subjects which are to be discussed in this Surah Al-Mubarakah, Al-Azeemah. Incidentally, it also consists of 18 ayat. We read and studied Surah Al-Taghabun, 18 ayat. These two sections of Surah Bani Israel, 18 ayat. Now Surah Al-Hujurat, again 18 ayat. So that Surah Mubarakah, let me give you the questions which are being discussed and which we shall inshallah discuss tomorrow studying this Surah Mubarakah. Number one, the constitutional basis of Islamic State. What's the condition? In one ayah, the whole subject has been discussed. One condition, if it is fulfilled, the state becomes Islamic. Number two, basis of the cultural homogeneity and continuity of Islamic society. Law and constitution is one aspect of the human society. Culture, civilization, norms, values. What are the steps and what's the basis of cultural homogeneity? A very big ummah, more than a billion, spread over half of the globe. But there should be homogeneity of culture. And this culture shouldn't change from time to time. Continuity, homogeneity and continuity of culture. On what basis? Number three, important and fundamental do's and don'ts for keeping the ummah or the Islamic State integrated, strong. Number four, position of racial and ethnic groupings in Islam. And with it, another question, what is the relationship between a Muslim society, Islamic State, and the rest of the humanity? What are the basis of interaction? Is there anything common? On what basis? We will be dealing with the rest of the humanity. We have established an Islamic State, an Islamic society. On what basis we will be interacting and dealing with the humanity at large? Number five, basis of citizenship in Islam. Who is a citizen in Islamic State? What is the condition he has to fulfill? Number six, difference between Iman and Islam. Are they synonymous? Do they mean the same thing? If they are different, what's the difference? And whether Iman is the basis of the membership of Islamic society or the citizenship of a Muslim Islamic State, or it is the Islam which is the basis of the citizenship of Islamic State and membership of Muslim society. And lastly, what's the position and what's the importance of jihad fi sabilillah in Islam? Is it imperative for every Muslim, every Mu'min? Or is it something optional? Is it something additional? Or it is imperative on every Mu'min to have jihad? If so, what is jihad? All these important questions to be discussed in this surah, Al-Hujurat. And we shall, inshallah, complete the study of this surah tomorrow in 3 hours. أقول قولي هذا واستغفر الله لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين والمسلمات.